Blog Talk Radio.
And hello, hello, hello. Welcome. Welcome to Out the Box with Coach Lewis and
Coach Donna.
Hey, how's everybody doing this evening? We're going to have a nice, easy show. We had a lot of instructional stuff the last 3 weeks telling about rest, recovery, and regeneration. So we're going to end this summer. Unbelievable. Summer's over.
I can't even imagine
how quickly our summer's gone. We're going to end this with a just, you know, because we're going into the season, the new season. Most of the high schools are about to start track practice if they haven't started. School started for most people. Some others will start on Tuesday.
Yep.
Almost all colleges are back. Yep. Nearly everybody's back. So they're already in training session. So we're going to talk about this evening. How do you build a successful track program? What's the best way to build a successful track program? As I mentioned before, a successful track program or any athletic program doesn't start on the field of play on the track.
Absolutely.
It starts a lot earlier than that in some other areas. So we're going to talk about that this evening, give you what our thoughts are. There's many different ways to build a successful program. Mm-hmm. We're just going to give you what we believe is the right way, our way, what we believe is the best way to go about building a program. So, and if you have any thoughts, give us a call, 646-668-8083. Tell us what you think. How do you build a successful athletic program? With that being said, Coach Donna.
So my initial thoughts on this topic here is first and foremost to have competent coaches.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
Okay.
So I thought about it. First, I looked at it from the athletic standpoint. I looked at it from a couple different things or what have you. But you know what? You can have the greatest athletes and have terrible coaches, and that all by itself will ruin an entire program.
Imagine, and we can tell you over the years that we've been coaching, we've been coaching for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen many different types of programs. We've seen it from the youth programs. We've seen high school programs. We've seen collegiate programs. And all of those things, one common denominator, has got to be competent, really good coaching.
Right.
We've seen teams that had just unbelievable talent.
Right.
And we've watched that talent get wasted because there's not a coach who understands how to utilize and harness the talent and go forward. I saw last year, or 2 years ago actually, we had a team in our region, a high school team in our region, who had some unbelievable talent.
Mm-hmm.
And literally, these kids were doing it on their own for the most part. They were making it to regionals and state because the coaching was just, there was a kid doing a high jump. The kid could really, really high jump. But as he got to the higher heights, the coach could not give him the right adjustments. First, he never got his line. He never got his mark. He never had a run up the proper way. He would just run and jump. And the coach never did any adjustment for him. He just told him to go and jump and say, just pull your head back. Well, you're not even seeing what the kid's doing.
Right.
So you don't know why he's missing at this higher height.
And he would lose. Tony.
And he would get out at the higher heights for that reason, because there was the incompetent coaching.
Right.
We had a kid who was actually at that same high school, transferred to our high school for the same reason. It's just they're on their own. You're not really learning much.
Right.
Go out and run. Practice doesn't. There's no structure to practice. It's come as you feel like it. There's no program to get them going.
Nothing.
And not getting them ready and not getting them in the proper form, mind and body, to be ready for these bigger meets.
Right.
So they get there and just running, and no strategy, no learning anything about the sport. And then they just run and hurts them. So I agree with you. You got to have competent coaching.
Yeah.
Golly, you got to have competent coaching.
And you mentioned it with high jump. So I feel the same way, obviously, about long jump and triple jump.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you don't know how to make the proper adjustments, you can be a great jumper all you want to.
Yeah.
But if you can't get your jumper on the line, on the board at some point.
Right.
That's a challenge.
Yep.
If you can't get them to, to have proper phases in like the triple jump, that's going to be a challenge.
Yep.
If you can't get them, to be able to go up, to drive up in their long jump, and that's going to be a challenge. But it takes someone to actually see the athlete doing it and to know what to look for.
Yeah, and don't let me get started on the hurdles. Oh, my God. I could have a whole show about what just drives me crazy about people telling kids to go run hurdles. Just go over there and do that. Don't do that. You break their confidence. You can get them injured, you know, and primarily they may look like they're doing something good, doing it well.
Right.
And once they get against better competition,
right,
it's over after the first hurdle, mm-hmm, because you haven't taught them anything. You just say, go run. Well, you didn't tell them what the steps are to take to get to the first hurdle. Mm-hmm. You didn't tell them what a cut step is. You told them nothing but go over there and bring your leg through. Don't do that to kids. You know, have somebody who knows what they're talking about. Teach kids what they want to learn.
Right.
If you don't have that, forget it.
Right. And the same goes for running events as well.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because there's a strategy,
mm-hmm,
to every event.
Yes.
Right? Of mm-hmm course, if it's a short event, a short sprint, you know, obviously it's run as fast as you can.
Sure, but even with
you
that,
you got to have technique.
Yeah.
You got to have proper technique. So if you're running with your head all thrown back,
mm-hmm,
or arms flapping and,
mm-hmm,
you know, all over the place and that type of thing,
mm-hmm,
you're exerting a whole lot more energy,
mm-hmm,
than you need to,
right,
thus, you know, decreasing,
mm-hmm,
the time, you know.
Right, and even in a short sprint, the 60 or the
increasing,
even a short sprint, like the 100 and the 60, you got to have your dry phase. You know, there's phases to running, you know, that race. You know, you don't just say set, go, run.
Right.
You know, there's a process you have to go through to get to your top speed and to maintain your speed as far as your top speed as long as you possibly can.
Right.
And, you know, people don't understand. It's not like you just run fast.
Right.
You know, you have to be able to maintain your top speed and as far as long as you can and decelerate the least. And that's one of the things people just don't understand. And if you just tell a kid to go out there and do it, you know, they may be fast, like you mentioned. They may all be really fast,
mm-hmm,
and can win some races because of their speed. But when they get somebody with better technique and understands the race.
Right, and the speed.
And the speed.
That's
it's a different run. It's a different animal, and that's what happens. And you see kids like, I thought I was fast. Well, you are, but this guy is just as fast as you, and he has technique, and it makes it look like you're not as fast, or sometimes it makes you look like you're slow.
Right. And you know what? And that goes for even on down to the distance races.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's got to be a strategy to that.
Yeah.
You can, you know, everybody wants to get out,
mm-hmm,
because you have to position yourself, you
mm-hmm
know, because a lot of times they start bunched up,
mm-hmm,
you know, whether it be like the 800 and up,
uh-huh,
or, you know, anything for cross country too.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to get out with it to position yourself,
mm-hmm,
and then you got to get yourself a good stride, you know,
mm-hmm,
good steady stride. Again, that technique,
mm-hmm,
you know, makes a difference in how you're actually running it. And then you have to be able to close.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be able to finish your race.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes, you know, if not trained properly, you get out so fast and you're going too fast, and then you dead,
mm-hmm,
completely dead at the end. You have absolutely nothing left,
right,
to even try to compete, you know, across, you know, compete through the finish line.
Right, which goes back to proper coaching. If you don't have coaching who teaches you proper techniques and how to run races and gives you the proper practice,
right,
to build up your endurance, to
right
work on your closing
right
speed, to work on your mid-race strategy and what you do and how you go about doing, and to do the things that you need, breathing, all those things that are you need for that distance, what are you going to do? Just go out and run.
Chewing the F. Oh, my God, really?
That's what he came in to do.
Don't you come on here harassing me, Coach Lamont. I am going to join it. I was busy. I have a very important job.
Anyway.
I will get around to that app. I'm going to do it right after we close the show.
Anyway,
so yes,
you're right.
I definitely think that first and foremost, at least my opinion,
mm,
is that competent coaches is the key, one of the major keys,
mm-hmm,
I should say, not everything,
mm-hmm,
but one of the major keys to, you know, building a successful program.
Yeah. And I'm going to go back even further than that, though. Even to build a successful track program, running program, there's got to be one thing that, like I said, doesn't even have to do with on the track or on the field, vision and a plan.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm,
you don't have a successful track program without a vision to say, here's what I want to do with my program. Here's why I want to build my program. As I mentioned earlier, I said, you know, Carl Lewis mentioned, says, you know, about the journey. It's about the journey and not the outcome. So if your program is to say, okay, I want to build a successful program, what are you trying to do with it? I just want to win championships. Well, that's the outcome. What is the journey to get there? What are you going to do to get there? What is your vision? What is your plan to do that? And if your only thing is says, I just want to win championships, so I want to get the best kids and do that stuff, that's not a plan. That's not a vision. That's not how you're going to build it. I mean, as many times you'll see, and you see it across the board in every sport, I'm going to get the best athletes, and when I have the best athletes, I'm going to have them out there, and we're going to win. And not every time the best athletes win, because, again, coaching, strategy, and a plan. You have to start off with a plan. What is your vision to build a program?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's pivotal that you have that. You can't go into and say, just grab people and do it. It's not going to happen. If your ultimate goal is to win championships, great. How do you get there?
Right.
How do you get there? You're not going to get every stud. You're not going to get every kid who can do all the great things. So what do you do? If you don't know how to coach them, what are you going to do? How do you build those kids who are not the studs and make them competent athletes to do what you want to do? Better have a plan. Better know what you're doing and get it going. And too many people out there just say, hey, I'm going to grab a bunch of kids and do this.
Right.
Doesn't work. And the funny part about it is even in the youth programs,
right.
Even in our youth programs, like I said, we've been coaching kids from 3 years old.
Yeah, right.
3 years old. Little Maya, too.
Maya, she's probably been out there. She's been out there since she was in a stroller.
Yeah, so, I mean, 2 years old, really. Kids from the 2 years old, basically just starting to walk. 2 years old to 19 years old, actually, they even further longer than that. They're still in college. Some of them are 21, 22 years old. We still coach them. And because of our youth program, the program that we built and the successful program we have is based on competent coaching
mm-hmm.
and a vision of what we wanted to do. And the vision we have for what we want to do was build a program in which kids can learn the sport, enjoy the sport, and develop a passion for it. And learn from other coaches. Absolutely. Right, Eric. Learn, you know, teach them the sport, learn the sport, build on it, and get them to have a passion for the sport. Because if we can get the athletes to buy into what we're doing and they believe in what they can do,
mm-hmm.
it makes it so much easier for us. Here's the part. That outcome creates champions.
Right.
That's the outcome that creates champions. So if I want to have championships, I build that outcome where kids buy into my program,
right.
believe what I want to do, have a passion for wanting to do it, and then they want to learn more and take more on and get better, understand from success, understand from failure,
right.
and get better. And all the next thing you know, we got champions. You know,
right.
China was a champion at 13 years old. We had India as champions, and Sade as champions, Sydney as champions, and Kanani as champions. I mean, all these champions, and the reason being, they bought into the program, understand what we were saying, and we didn't set out to be a championship team. We set out to build athletes and get them into this sport of track and learn it and get better at it.
Right.
And that's how it became a successful program.
Right. So just to kind of piggyback off of what you were saying, I do think one of the biggest challenges, as again, we always talk about mental toughness.
Mm-hmm.
I think that confidence, building mm-hmm. confidence in the kids definitely goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't even matter if you're not the number one athlete on the team or,
mm-hmm.
you know, that who's winning, who, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, who's got their mm-hmm. event, and you already know this is what they, you know, you want to make them feel valued
mm-hmm.
to be a part of the team,
mm-hmm.
regardless of, you know, whether they're the star or basically the third mm-hmm. string person,
right.
you know, for the event.
Right.
So I think that when they come out there, you know everybody's name, first of all. You know, that's one thing. I struggle with in the beginning, but I get all their names, even if I got to give them nicknames.
Right.
They're going to
get
called something.
Yes.
Right.
They're
going to get called that same name, whatever
mm-hmm.
it is.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's important, because you don't want to always feel like you're singling out the top person,
mm-hmm.
right? I know mm-hmm. a lot of times I will use, say, key
mm-hmm.
to come and demonstrate a particular drill. But then if I see that James, you know, who's also a good jumper,
mm-hmm.
he just hasn't had the success so far
mm-hmm.
that Key has had. Sometimes I'll say, oh, James, come on out here and demonstrate this thing. He's mm-hmm. like, me?
Yeah.
I said, yeah, you. Mm-hmm. You know how to do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's like, yeah. I was like, well, come on and demonstrate it then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sometimes you just got to, you know, you got to mix it up. call on different people to do different things and make everybody feel valued and, you know, and appreciated for their particular role, because sometimes it takes the person behind the star, so to speak, to actually propel, you know, to push that person to even be greater, because as the person behind you is getting closer and closer to where you are, then you better step your game up if you want to stay on top.
Well, one of the things someone mentioned, character building, earlier the better, absolutely. One of the things that works well for us, and why our programs work so well and why we work so well together, is the yin and yang. I mean, she's so nice to the kids. She teaches them, and they love Coach Donna. And then they got me, who yells at everyone. I yell at all of them. I yell at the stars. I yell at the nobody. I yell at everyone. And everybody gets yelled at the same. You know, the star is going to get yelled at, and the one who's not any good gets yelled at. And they all get a nasty nickname. I give them a nasty nickname because that's how I do it. But there's a method to my madness, and it is like, you're all one, and all of you are maggots, and none of you are any good, and we're going to get better together, not separate. And we build that program, and that's how I do it. And then they go, shuffle them off to her. And she's like, come here, girl. Come here, boy. Let me get you going. And they're like, oh, Coach Don, this is so nice to have Coach Don. And then the mix, and, you know, the yin and yang works so well with that. But the program works because even though she's teaching jumps and I'm teaching hurdles and high jump, I even yell at the coaches, so. but because even though she's teaching long jump and triple jump and I'm teaching hurdles and high jump, it still works because we cross-train. I don't only do hurdles and high jump. She doesn't just only do long jump and triple jump. When we do our track work, you know, we have a program together where we do track work, and we bounce that stuff off together and do the things they need, so the kids have that yin and yang and understand it's not always good cop, bad cop.
Right.
It's more of a training. What do you mean, come on, Coach Lewis? What? Anyway, what do you have to say, Eric? So anyway, it's not just good cop, bad cop, but it's the bouncing off saying, here's how we get you going. And we understand, okay, once this is unsafe, this kid is more in tune to him, you know, being gruff and all this stuff. This kid's more in tune to the reinforcement, positive reinforcement, and we work it, and we can start seeing where they are and how they respond, and then we build it. Program's the same. The training's the same. It's how we bring it to them and to get the best out of them and the most out of them, and which the effectiveness of what we do. So it's, you know, we are who we are. I'm not as gruff and as mean and as nasty as they think she are, and she ain't as nice and sweet and kind and wonderful as everybody thinks she is. There is
we
a little
bit, get the same result,
but we get the same result, right? So it works well, and that's part of our vision, our plan that we've always put together, saying here's what we want to do and how we build the program, and the kids gravitate to it and they love it, and they seem to enjoy the fact that, hey, I've got these two coaches and others that we have around with us as well. Whatever, man. It ain't no good thing. Whatever. So anyway, we have others who gravitate to that, and they get in part of it and become and say, hey, we really do it. But the main thing behind all of that stuff is part of our method of madness is like, we know what we're talking about, and we're going to teach everything we have. You're absolutely right. We build better sportsmen and teammates as well. You're absolutely right. We know what we're talking about, and we teach. You know, as much as I'm yelling and getting on them, there's teaching. There's always teaching.
Right.
Coach Donna, same time, there's always teaching. You know, there's coaching, that's one, and then there's teaching. We do them both. We teach to get them to understand why we do what we do. Then we coach them to do the teaching we just did.
Right.
I'm asking you to do this to fix your hip or to get you better placement, like you said, in the long jump, most of now. Go out and perform this, and I'm going to coach you that you do this the right way.
Right.
And that's what we do. That's part of our plan that we put in place to get things going. The other thing about successful track programs is buy-in. If the kids are – you can't have anything if you can't get kids to buy in.
Right. Wait a minute. Can we go back for a moment to your last point? Because I do think that communication is key. And we talk about you know, yelling a little bit sometimes, you know, pumping them up, knocking them down, building them back up and all that kind of stuff. I think that communication is a big part of a successful program and knowing how to communicate to different kids.
That's right.
Because there are some kids that you can yell at and you know, they're gonna get it together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some kids, you yell at them,
fall apart.
They ain't built for it. They just straight not mm-hmm. built for
yep.
it. It's
yep.
like, you know, you don't even.
Mm-hmm.
It's over for them,
mm-hmm.
right?
Sure.
And then you got some kids who need to be yelled at.
Mm-hmm. Don't respond to positive reinforcement.
Right,
yeah.
right. It's like they always look. I don't know. It's like I said, that whole communication piece
uh-huh.
is key. And I think that it's just as important as the coaches knowing how to communicate to the athlete as it is for the athlete knowing how to communicate to the coach what they need.
Yes, effective communication skills. You're absolutely right. It is pivotal and key to doing it. We have to be able to communicate to the athlete. The athlete has to be able to communicate to us. And we have to be able to communicate to each other
right.
and anyone around the athlete to get them to believe what we're saying.
Right.
You know, we can talk the game. You know, some people can be the greatest con man, con woman of all and tell you all these wonderful things.
Right.
And they can give you a list of all their certificates and certifications and their training. And I'm, you know, USA level 3 certified. I went to this school and I did this and I did all these ones. And people go, oh, my God. This person has it all. They have it all, but can't communicate to the athlete
right.
what it takes to be a better jumper, long jumper, hurdler, high jumper, sprinter. Can't communicate that. I may have met all the degrees in the world, but don't have anything when it comes to communication.
Yep.
So they're selling somebody a bill of goods and all that other stuff because the kids aren't getting anything out of it.
Right. And like I said, it's just as important for the athlete to be able to communicate
mm-hmm.
to the coach, you know,
mm-hmm.
what it is that they need, because if they just sit back all tight-lipped,
mm-hmm.
they could look like they're, you know, that
uh-huh.
they're into it and
mm-hmm.
they're rolling along with it and everything, but
mm-hmm.
really they could be a lot better
mm-hmm.
if they just say what, you know, what
yes.
it is that they need.
Yes, absolutely.
So it goes right. both ways.
And like I was mentioning, the next thing I was talking about is buy-in. The athletes have to buy into what you want to teach them. The people around the athletes also have to buy in what you're trying to do and what you believe your journey and outcome is going to be. And sometimes you have to get people to understand. I think. Oh, he's talking to Archie. Never mind.
Oh,
okay.
See.
Well, you know your
yeah,
team.
Yeah, you know
so,
I know.
Yeah,
you know I know.
And you know Lamar Jackson from Louisville. There you go, Louisville.
Oh yes, the quarterback.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he just scored on your team, but I just want you to
whatever.
Know. Okay.
Whatever. Carry on. We're talking about track. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. It was the other way around. You
right,
were going on.
Now.
But what I'm saying is buying in from all people, the people around the athlete, the people in your program, and the people who are administering your program have to buy into what you're trying to do. And like I said, some outcomes are not necessarily championships. You have to get people to understand, you may look at an athlete, the outcome is not to become a champion, you know, the ultimate outcome. The outcome is to say, here's where you were day one.
Right.
Here's where we're trying to get you on day 10 or day 100, just as an example.
he started it, right?
Anyway, here's where you're trying to get you on day 100, and this is what we're trying to do. In between is races, practices and all these other things, but we want to get you from a point where you couldn't run at all
mm-hmm.
to the point where now you feel comfortable doing it.
Right.
And we've got sometimes our outcome is not necessarily for you to win a championship, but for you to get that taste and get that hunger and you to say, gosh, I want to do this again.
Right.
I want to come back and get more of this. I'm learning so much. I enjoy doing this. I'm ready to come back. When does season start? And how many times we have that happen where kids are like, at the end of the season, and they haven't won a championship. They haven't done anything that you say, congratulations, there's a big medal hanging around your neck
right.
or a big Tryon trophy. It's like, I had so much fun, and when I started, I couldn't run at all. I was really, really bad. Here I'm at the end of the season, and I'm racing really fast, and I'm doing so well. Oh, I want to do some more. I want to do some more.
Right.
When can I get back? And from our youth program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he did.
Coach Jones, Eric, his son started in our program, and he was like, I don't know if he can do it. I said, Don's going to run the 2 and 4. He's going to be able to run it. Don't worry about it. We got him. We'll get him straight. And, like I said, he had doubts. He's like, I don't know. And he's like, you know, just give us an opportunity. We'll teach him. We'll get him ready to go. We'll coach him up. And now he thrives in it. He loves it. He's doing it.
Oh, my God. He's doing so well.
Yes.
And the thing about it is that one thing I love is that when the little ones get to practice with the older ones,
uh-huh.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I can remember Adonis, you know, doing long jump.
Uh-huh.
He always wanted to do what the big kids were doing.
Uh-huh.
If they were going over a hurdle, he was 5 years old. He's like, I'm going over
go
that hurdle.
Hurdle too,
I'm
yes.
thinking, dude, you're not
yes.
even taller than the hurdle.
Yeah, you can't,
he had the,
you can't
a heart this big. He's
yeah.
like, I'm going over that hurdle.
Uh-huh.
And look at him now. Now
yeah,
he's out there,
hurdle.
You know,
doing
playing in
yes.
nationals and
exactly.
all
doing
kinds
hurdle.
Of stuff, doing big things.
Absolutely. And so that's what I mean about the outcome. It isn't necessarily a championship. The outcome is getting the child engaged and wanting to be part of it. And want to get more so they can get better. So the ultimate outcome, which is, you know, for a lot of people is winning championships,
mm-hmm.
can happen. So it's not necessarily the first outcome, again, for our program has never been win a championship. The first outcome we want is get them engaged, get them excited about it, and start get them to learn to love the sport itself and want to do more in the sport.
Right.
And once we get that,
mm-hmm.
it's easy.
Right.
It's so easy for now everything. Now the kids are into it. Again, from our youth program, parents are now saying, holy cow.
Yeah, oh,
know,
the parents
my,
really.
Oh, my it. Goodness. Well, I don't know how many times we've had a kid who's never done a sport. Never done a sport at all. And they come out to that first practice. And that first practice, and the mom's like, oh, I don't know.
Right.
You got
oh,
him running
yeah.
or she running all this time. Oh, I don't think they want to do it.
Yeah, look at Tati.
Yeah, and then after the first practice, the parents are like, okay, I don't think so. I guess we ain't going to come back out here. And they go, how do you think? What do you think? Oh, I had so much fun. I want to do this again.
Yeah,
when's
yeah.
the next practice?
Yeah.
When's the next practice? Like, and the parents are like, they just made you run 6 laps.
Right, right.
You won't
like
even go
up
run the stairs. Yes, you look like you were going to stop every single time. And you said you want to come back and do more of this?
I know.
And it's like the kid's like, yes, 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 I want to do this again, I want to do this again. And the parents go, whoa, how did y'all do that?
Mm-hmm.
And then the kids come back. And, you know, there's always ups and downs because sometimes the kids feel like they're not getting better. And we have to explain to them, no, you are. And because when you started, those 6 laps we asked you to do, you walked on all 6 of them.
Yeah.
Now here it is. You don't walk on all 6 of them. You actually finish them. You may not finish them as fast as you want to finish them or as fast as somebody else, but you're actually finishing every single one of those laps.
Right.
And it's like, oh, and the kids go, uh-huh. And the parents are like, oh, I'm so happy. I mean, shoot, he or she didn't want to do anything, and now you got her doing a sport or she doing a sport, and now they're just excited. They're excited to come to practice. And we've had how many parents say, I can use this. That's my motivation. If you don't do what you're supposed to do in school,
that's exactly what I
or if you don't do your chores, you're not going to practice. And they're like, thank you, coach, because, you know, they'll do whatever we want because they got to come. They want to come to practice.
That's right.
But they want to run on Saturday. They'll do it. So that's part of our outcome to get them engaged and excited about being a part of the sport.
And we reinforce
yes.
what the parents say, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know I had this one kid. Well, we all did, really.
Mm-hmm.
But one, I would get on her all the time because she loved to talk and get in a little trouble in school sometimes every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
So every day I would say, what color were you on today?
Uh-huh.
And she knows. And when she's on green, which means she did everything right, she didn't
uh-huh.
get in trouble or anything like that, she comes sprinting.
Mm-hmm.
Coach Donna, I'm on green today. And I'm like, good. You know,
mm-hmm.
so I'm like, you know, high-fiving
uh-huh.
her and pumping her up.
Uh-huh.
So it's not even just what they're doing on the track team, but it's the whole
mm-hmm.
confidence thing about building
mm-hmm.
the whole person
mm-hmm.
up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, that stuff just goes a long
yeah,
way because they value what you say.
Right. And the other thing is the parents value it. Because
right.
the parents now see, here's an advocate for my child.
Right.
You know, in this sport, then they're doing something to help my child, and they've got my child believing in something that they couldn't believe in before.
Yeah.
And even sometimes the parents say, I didn't think the child could do this either. You know, they're even saying, I didn't think this kid could do this. I didn't
mm-hmm.
think they'd be able to finish
mm-hmm.
running. You know, I've never seen him run. You know, I've never seen he or she run one lap.
Right.
And you got him running. I can't believe you actually made him run that mile. You made him run a mile and he actually did it? Yeah, he did it.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. He's like, well, I never seen him even try to run around the house. He's like, oh,
I know.
They'll
I
do
know.
It. They'll do it. And he learned it. But and that's how we have success from our youth program And then that success gets better because we've got that first outcome, believing in what they can do.
Right.
And then they come back and learn more. And then as they get more comfortable with what they're doing and understand what it, then we start getting them better and they start building championships. You know, some years, some kids, first year out, boom, you know, they get it. They snap it up and all there, and they are ready to go, and they are ready to be champions early. It's just a matter of harnessing and fine tuning them and get ready to go. Others, it takes time.
Yeah, it's
and the outcome can't just always be to win a championship.
Right.
The outcome is to get them ready and get them prepared to get to the championship.
And for them to constantly improve upon their own, you know, personal results.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the other part to it is to me, one of the other major factors is trust, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that if a child or you know, an athlete trusts their coaches, it just makes all the difference in the world.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I absolutely loved about coaching at Highland Springs last year is that there were several kids that I had never coached before, right? And then there were some who I had, you know, just the summer before.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You know, but one of the things that I appreciated the most and where I found that we had the most success is that they actually trusted anything that I told them to do. They never said, why we got to do that?
Mm-hmm.
Or what's that going to help? Because some things, some drills, quite honestly, they were guinea pigs. I was making up stuff. Let me look online, you know, or things that I thought might help, you know, or whatever. Then I would run it by them sometimes, you know, whatever. But they would try it. That was the thing I loved about it. They would try anything you ask them to do.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I was most proud about, like I said, from the trust aspect, is that in the end, everyone was successful.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody came out much better than they were. Some peaked as much as 10 feet further than where they started from. You know, and again, I think it came down to trust. Even when they got frustrated sometimes, I would say you just got to trust the process.
Mm-hmm.
Have a trust the process.
That's right.
I'm trusting the process.
That's just,
you know, getting all in a tizzy and everything else. But they would keep coming back for more.
Mm-hmm.
They would keep coming back for more. And when all was said and done, I mean, they were on top.
Mm-hmm.
They were on
Lila
top.
Hainsworth was one like that.
Gotta love my child.
Lila Hainsworth was one who wouldn't trust the process. I'm not getting it. I'm not trying to, like, just relax. It's coming. Don't worry about it. It's coming. Just be quiet. You got it. Follow the program. Lila, you cannot talk for the next 2 minutes.
And
it would kill her. She can't talk for 2 minutes. Clock starts now. And would just absolutely positively kill her that she couldn't talk. All right? But she would go through the drill, and she would do the drill. And when she stopped talking, she'd drill the drill through. And it's like, okay, now you can talk. Now go through the drill. And she nailed it. And she nails the drill. And then as she worked, as she got better and better and better, and she got to high school, you know, her freshman year in high school, again, we work on hurdles for some time. When she had her freshman year in high school, she was a champion. She won the championship.
Yeah, she sure did.
She was the one no one thought could do it. There were four people who were seated higher than her who had better time than her, but she had trusted what she was doing, learned what she was going to do. They lined up, and boom, she won easily. She won easily. She was the champion.
That was a shocker, man. That was her freshman year,
yeah,
too.
She won, and it was like, and everybody was like, oh, my God, what happened? It's like she learned. She started believing, and she learned. She started getting better, and the outcomes were getting there to the point where she was feeling really good about it, and she knew what she could do, and she knew she was capable of getting better, and she was getting better every single year. And she would get better at her youth meets and all stuff. And then when she got to high school, again, her freshman year, she's at high school with some experienced hurdlers, seasoned hurdlers, and she's in there, and she beats them. She beats them because she believed what she was doing, and at the end, she couldn't believe what she had done.
I know,
she
right?
couldn't believe what she had done. The only person who could believe she was doing it was me, and I'm like, I told you could do it. You just had to believe what you were doing and follow what's going on, and that was the outcome we wanted. And then she got it to the point, and then this one messed it up and made her go play volleyball.
Oh, it's my fault. Michelle, are you listening to this? Because I know you're
Yeah, this
here.
Is for Michelle. You see what happens? I get them all ready to go, and then y'all go play volleyball. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you know, guys playing volleyball. Now,
yeah.
Look, in all fairness, volleyball did not steal down here. Volleyball did not steal China.
True.
They all still played.
And they are all now in college.
And playing. Yeah, that's right. That's running
right.
track.
Yeah, that's right.
See? So, you know, sometimes it could get you.
It was still my first one. That's all right.
That is true. So another thing that I think that is very important in building a successful program is discipline.
Yes.
I think that discipline is, you know, is, again, key in making sure that everyone follows the same rules, right? And that there are consequences to not doing what you were you are supposed to do. It doesn't matter if you are, again, the star of the team or, you know, a role player, basically. Discipline goes across the board. If you don't make the particular grades, there are consequences to it. If you don't make it to practice on time and you don't, or miss practice and you're not communicating, again, there should be disciplinary action. If you decide that you want, you're supposed to be competing in a race, you miss your race for whatever reason, there should be disciplinary action. I can go on about, you know, a whole bunch of different scenarios where there should be, you know, disciplinary action. But the bottom line is that you want to, you know, to set these ground rules up front and you want to be consistent across the board. Because, again, when you, this is when it goes back to the whole trust part of it, is that if a coach is showing favoritism, if a coach is not communicating properly, if a coach is, you know, doing one thing for one kid but not for the other, and, you know, and all that kind of stuff, making certain concessions, at the end of the day, it's like a snowball effect.
Which leads to the other part of discipline, is the coach has to be disciplined as well.
Right, exactly.
If you set a disciplinary policy, then you need to be disciplined to follow your policy.
Yes.
You know, and discipline yourself. If you're the coach and you said that practice is going to be at a certain time, you need to discipline yourself to make sure that you're there to start the practice and do the things that you're doing, or unless you designate something for someone to do for that. So you're going to discipline, if you're going to discipline the kids to do certain things, you have to discipline yourself to say, I can't have, you know what? I know this is my stud. Oh, you know what? I can't.
Coach can't be a punk about it.
You gotta follow the rules as well. You know, you can't just beat up on the one who's not the greatest, you know, and not let the star get away with stuff.
Right.
You know, you just can't do that as well. You have to be disciplined in what you're doing. So those things are important. Is absolutely important. But also, you gotta be disciplined in what your program is.
Right.
And you have to follow what you believe your program is. You have to be disciplined to your program. You can't just change on a fly and on a whim because you just want to.
Oh,
you know,
somebody's calling.
Oh, we got, oh, hey, I think I know that number.
All right. We got a call.
Hello. You're on Out the Blocks with Coach Lewis and Coach Donna. Who are we speaking with?
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. I knew it.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good.
Hey, what's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Sydney. I'm calling from Louisville, Kentucky.
Okay. And what's your talk on the building a successful track program?
It takes good athletes and not just even ones starting out. It takes the will of good athletes. So athletes need to have that drive, have that will to work, have that ability to, oh, yeah, this is what I want to do, that interest to be better at their sport.
Okay. What else?
It takes good coaches.
Good coaches.
In my experience in high school, I didn't have a good coach.
I didn't have a good coach.
Okay.
So I had to rely on my rec coaches. And that worked out for me. Well, the first year, I thought I was going in a good direction. But then, I don't know what happened.
So you think that hurt your high school career? You believe not having good high school coaches hurt your career?
It definitely did. I feel like I wouldn't have had as many injuries in my high school career.
Right.
And the style that I was working with my first year, working with the boys, was better for me than working out with the girls.
And why is that?
They pushed me better. I felt like the girls definitely got my speed up, but the boys definitely worked more on my endurance, and that's what I needed.
Right. So you had the skills when you got there. You just needed that. You needed that fine tuning, and you didn't get that as you what you wanted in your high school program.
Yes.
Okay, but you still ran in the summer, and then things got better, correct? I mean, you were an All-American in the summer.
If I wasn't hurt, then I ran in the summer.
Yeah. True. That's true. Anything else you think that helped for to build a successful track program?
A successful track program also needs a good facility as well.
Good facility? You think so? Okay.
Definitely doesn't hurt.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt at all. Good facility. Okay. Anything else to
add? Because I know from middle school, most tracks were gravel, and I don't think that's a good surface to run on. I just don't. They just need to be updated, because even like the long jump hits were pretty bad as well.
Okay. So so the safety and learning on things in a facility like that, doesn't help the athletes get better.
You get
shin splints and things of that nature happening because of, you know, the gravel and the pits not cleaned out well and real hard pits.
Mm-hmm.
Those really hard pits. So it hurts athletes who had really good skills, you know, basically getting shin splints and ankle sprains from bad pits. I agree with you there. Okay. So, yeah, facilities. Is there anything else?
Funding.
Ooh, funding. Funding. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, how do you
I'm trying to sound all smart because this is my area.
Okay.
But funding helps.
Uh-huh. And why does funding help?
Because then you'll have the resources to get better facilities, better equipment, and uniforms in that nature. And be able to go, since track requires a lot of travel, and be able to go places as well.
Yeah, I agree. Mm-hmm. And I guess when you say uniforms, a lot of it is, you know, in athletes, when you look good, you feel good. And you run good and you jump good, because kids like to look good when they compete.
Right.
I mean, I think you're in something.
Yeah, confidence.
When we were younger, like, we thought that long sock was, ooh, yes. I'm working the track. You gotta have a long sock.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely right. Yes. Yes. You young ladies had your own little style.
Oh my gosh.
You had your own style that you all took to your meets. Exactly. And it did play a part, because so many people would see you guys, and you young ladies come on the track and say, "Here come the heat girls."
Right.
And dressed with the one long sock and your uniforms and all stuff. And then here comes it. And y'all were confident and felt good about it.
Yeah.
And then,
cute.
Yeah. And then when y'all got on the track, y'all performed. And it made our job a lot easier, because y'all were confident and y'all got on the, and it wasn't like, okay, they're just not looking cute. Oh, no, they got on the track and performed.
Right.
You know, we talking about coming home with medals every single time. And, you know, national championships and All-Americans and all that stuff, because, you know, you felt good, you looked good, you trained hard, and you did everything. So I agree with you there. Funding was important. facilities. Definitely we have better facilities. We use a lot of good facilities and all stuff. So all those things. Is there anything else you can think of?
To build a successful track program?
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Those are the keys.
You think those are the keys? Okay.
Yes, I believe that those four really stick out.
So coaching, funding, facilities, all those things are important.
Yep.
Yes.
I agree.
Okay. All right. I have a question for you. You coming home?
I am.
Okay. All right. All right.
Look at him over here smiling.
My princess,
you got him,
Sid.
You got him, girl.
Daddy's princess is coming home for the weekend. So good. All right. All right, Sid. Then I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay.
All right. Love you.
See you, Sid.
Love you, too. Bye, Coach Donna.
All right.
All right. Well, those were good good points.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some we had touched on,
mm-hmm.
some we had not just yet,
right.
Especially the funding, because
mm-hmm.
I definitely think that is one of the key things you really don't think about it. But you know what? Even for us, we don't realize just how fortunate we are sometimes until we get to a track meet and then you see a team that don't have uniforms or don't have matching uniforms and, you know, or whatever. And I don't know.
It does put them in a bad situation. Absolutely. Now, we talk a lot about our youth program because that's what we've done for the longest. But I want to shift gears a little bit and go to the high school program, which we both coach at, and building a successful high school program. Now, again, we're just talking my daughter, Sydney, who ran as a youth in high school and moved on. And she went to college. She stopped running track because she tore ACL her senior year in high school. But she was a field hockey, and she really enjoyed field hockey. And thankfully, she's taking that back up at college. So with that being said, from the high school standpoint, well, again, we coach at a very successful high school program. However, most of the success has been in another venture, football. They're three times state champions right now, and the way they're playing, they could soon be four-time state champions because they are really, really good. So one of the things when we talk about building a program, sometimes it's not a competition, but there is challenges to having another program that's extremely successful and you're trying to build your own.
Right.
For example, a lot of the times the people surrounding the high school and the people involved in the athletics of the high school and the people involved in the community see the one truly successful program and send and funnel funding, like we just mentioned, funnel resources, funnel avenues of fundraising, funnel equipment purchases, funnel athletes to that one sport because of the success they've had.
Right.
So now you're in it. You're basically behind the eight ball because now you've got to get other athletes and you build your program basically saying they're not throwaways.
Right.
You know, they're not throwaways, but sometimes you don't get all the athletes that could potentially help your program because they've now been, this program is so successful. I want to be a part of this successful program over here, and I don't want to go to this one who hasn't shown to be as successful as that one. So we have to basically start with a program with kids who, you know, some of them who only want to do track.
Right.
Some of them try to do dual sports, and they'll do football and track or some other sport and track. But you've got the challenges of this program is super successful and everything's going that way. You guys got to make your own mark with this little bit of, you know, people behind you and all this stuff. And it is a true challenge. How do you build your program that way? And it's not easy. It truly isn't easy. The first thing, again, like we mentioned, vision. You've got to have a vision of what your outcome is to be in your program. Second, you know, competent and extremely good coaching.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't have one where they have great coaches and, again, three-time state champions and a good chance to be four-time state champions, you know, and you have people on the other side in other sports who can't coach a lick.
Right.
You're not going to get anything. You're not going to get the athletes. You're not going to get it. Buying, even in school, as much as they want to say it, so, you know, everybody gets a piece of the pie, like, hey, this team is winning, I'm going to give them a bigger slice and give you a smaller slice because you're not really doing anything because, one, you got inadequate coaching.
Right.
So you have to challenge, so that challenge. So you've got to have people who know what they're doing, build a program, and you got to believe, you know, because there are going to be so many other challenges. Just the fact that you don't get all the athletes.
Right.
You don't get all the funding. You don't get always the new uniforms. You don't always get the facility that you need. You're going to struggle with some of those things, and you got to stick with it, you know, because you're going to be behind the eight ball a lot.
Right. So along with coaching, I think that coaches have to also evolve a bit, right? Coaches,
evolve. What are you talking about?
Yeah, coaches have to evolve, right?
Dinosaur.
And they have to be flexible to a certain degree, right?
Sure.
Because you have to know your audience. You have to know your athletes.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot always coach. You could use the same techniques, right?
Mm-hmm.
But again, you have to know, goes back to that whole communication piece.
Uh-huh.
And then you also have to, you know, as times change, like the drills, some of the drills that I did or you may have done in high school, yeah, those are the same, some of the same drills that we're doing today. But then from an evolving standpoint, you have to take a look and see, you know, what else is out there that's helping to get these helping to get these kids better and be willing to change, be flexible. Don't be so stuck in your ways that you're stifling another athlete just because of your inability to change. So I think that that's important. And you have to, again, like I said, you have to know your audience and you have to know how to relate to the kids and to be able to change a little bit. So as we talk about how we, you know, how we coach youth athletes, we're not going to, we're not going to be as, what's the word I may want to use, as easygoing, basically, with the older kids as we are, as patient, maybe that's a better word, with the older kids as we are with the younger kids, because the younger kids are really learning, and although some of the high school kids and so forth are still learning too, we expect you to learn at a faster pace, for one, and we also expect that that you're also going to do some practices and some things on your own, that if we keep on telling you the same thing over and over and over, you know, that somewhere along the line, you're going to want to invest in yourself. But again, from that whole change and evolving aspect, and how I say you have to know your audience, at one point I was I was a coach over at Hanover High. You go from Hanover High, you know, some middle to upper class suburb, you know, suburban folks and so forth. They're not, they have
no economic issues at all.
Right. No economic issues. Like, see, talk about funding. No economic issues at all. Most of them have a 3.0 or better, so no challenges with grades. Most of them have the money that if they don't need track scholarships, they are in track because they choose to be in track, and this may just be something that they are doing extra.
And parental buy-in.
Yeah, you know, and just getting the parental buy-in, you know, for something for them to do, right? And some of them may not even have the skill, but they're out there anyway.
That's right.
Right? And then, like, for me, like I said, going from Hanover High, going over to Highland Springs High, it's just, it's drastically different. I mean, it is.
Yeah.
It's drastically different. And sometimes you can get, as a coach, you can get real comfortable with all the perks of having the money to be able
to
do
funding, the funding, the
things
you need to do. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was nothing. One parent got sweatsuits for the entire team. Like, who does that?
Yeah,
you know, a parent.
Just drops a check for
everybody. No fundraising for this or
just
any
drops
of
a check
that.
For everything.
Yeah, just worked it right on out.
Right. Then you
and
come to the other side of town.
You come from Hanover High and you go over to Highland Springs. People are like, man, you went from Hanover to Highland Springs? Yeah, I don't need to get comfortable all the money. I want to win. And I'm not saying that we can't couldn't win at Hanover because we won a few things. We sure did.
Absolutely.
We sure did. Yeah. But it's a whole different mentality
mm-hmm.
of the kids.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, you have to, as a coach, you have to be able to evolve a bit and to be able to be flexible
mm-hmm.
and to meet the needs of the kids.
And the economic challenges on the other
right.
side of town we've had.
Right.
Fundraiser over there is somebody strokes a check. Fundraiser for us is, you know, frying fish every Friday at a football game.
Right.
You know, like
washing cars.
And washing
I mean,
cars.
Too,
and doing
whatever
those things, selling candy and all the stuff that, you know, we did as coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, as the kids were doing as well to because of for funding and doing those things facility-wise and all those things. So it is a difference. And like I said, the other challenge, like I said, from our standpoint here, again, Hanover High School had a really good football program and successful football program, but they also had the wherewithal and they had the parental buy-in and the community at large built into Hanover sports.
Right.
Hanover High School sports, Hanover Hawks.
Right.
Everybody was a Hawk, and it didn't matter if they were a football player or a baseball player or a lacrosse player or a soccer player.
I mean, even a volleyball
or volleyball player or soccer or track, everybody was a Hawk, and everybody was wanted to be a part of it, and there was all the buy-in from that standpoint. Now, on the other side, where we are now at Highland Springs High School, the challenge is the football program is great, phenomenal, and everybody's a Springer for football, but it's not the same as it is for every other sport because now you've got less of the Springer Nation is about these other sports. And you've got to, and how do you build a program there? It's not just about winning. It's about having patience, having people buy into the program,
right.
and watching the kids succeed, not just on the track, but in the classroom and the things that are coming about what they're doing, being great students, being great scholars, being
mm-hmm.
great people in the community. You build the program by making great kids.
Right.
You
and
know?
Having those athletes take pride
yeah.
in their sport
Absolutely.
And in themselves.
Yes.
You know?
So that's been the funny part about it. Most of our coaching, you know, our coaching has, it's strange to say this, our coaching has less to do today. It's more of just the buy-in of saying, teaching the kids to be a part of what you want to be as far as the program's concerned. And we do more on that standpoint about teaching kids to be the proper Springer, getting the best out of you by in the classroom and all everything else and being the community and all those things and building that part more so than the track.
Right.
And once we've got all of that, then we get them on the track and then they say, wow, not only do you have really outstanding athletes on the track, look at these kids in the community and the things that they're doing.
Right.
And now you get word of mouth out saying, hey, you know what that coach Lamont Folsom's doing over there at Highland Springs? Well, they win a lot. Yeah, they win a lot. But these kids, these are some really nice kids.
Right. And I
actually
really hear that a lot.
Good kids. The perception is not what people seem to think it is.
Of the school. Yeah.
They meet these kids and they go, these are really good kids. And people want to do things for really good kids. And that's what this program is doing. And Coach Folsom is taught and teaching kids to be a part of it by saying, you know what? We may not win all the championships that the football team program builds. We may not get all the funding and all the things, but we're going to have great kids.
Right.
And we're going to have great kids who do things from the classroom standpoint and then on the track. And when the track becomes secondary, it's easier for everything we do.
Right. And the thing about that is that he – again, does not discriminate on discipline.
Yeah.
He will kick the top person off the team.
Uh-huh.
You know, he will leave you behind at national.
Uh-huh.
And I know that for states or any of those mm-hmm. big meets and everything, and mm-hmm. I know, you know, that some of our stars, and I say that with air quotes, can attest to that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's one of the things that I definitely appreciate about
mm-hmm.
it. And again, you know, that goes back to building a successful program.
Right.
And now it's like, you know, people checking for Highland Springs. Not
yes.
not that they weren't previously,
right.
but they are especially checking for Highland Springs mm-hmm. these days and
mm-hmm.
seeing, you know, where we're going, what mm-hmm. we're doing, what meet y'all going to this
yeah,
year.
And
people
it,
already
exactly.
You know,
and some of the other things and the funny and the, some of the things I've noticed in our 2 years being there is some of the things like, you know, prior to being coaching with you and Hanover and us, having come in, there was this separation and segregation of teams and all the stuff, even in high school.
Right.
Highland Springs stuck with Highland Springs, Henrico stuck with Henrico, everything. The one thing we always notice is, you know, the Heat girls didn't care where you were. The Heat girls would be with the Heat girls, And there's somebody on Atlee as a Heat girl. She's going to be with the Heat girls on Henrico, and one's going to be on Glen Allen, and one's going to be Hanover and Patrick Henry. The Heat girls are going to be the Heat girls, and they were going to disperse wherever they wanted to go and be with whoever they wanted to be, because these are my girls, and I'm going to be with them. And then, fact of the matter, and let's be honest, but they're all really, really cute girls and really pretty girls. So what happens that boys gravitate to these cute girls. Here's all is 9, 10 cute girls walking around, and here boys, you know, following behind, because boys will be boys in high school and follow around. And then they gravitate together and have one big pack, one group of kids hanging out when normally they were segregated by teams.
Right.
What we found in the last couple of years from a Hot Springs standpoint is kids all of a sudden Hot Springs had that, ain't going over there no Highland Springs kids. Now all of a sudden, they're kids from Atlee.
Yeah.
They're kids from Hanover. There's kids from Ryko. They all stay with the Highland Springs kids.
Yeah.
And just want to stay there at their. They're at a track meet hanging out with the Highland Springs kids. And then I got to go to my race.
Mm-hmm.
But then they come back and want to hang with the Highland Springs kids. Change the perception of what these kids are and what the school is, and getting it out to the community saying, hey, you know what? I spent all this time with these Highland Springs kids. Man, these kids are really nice. These are great kids and all stuff, and people want to be a part of it. And it's truly remarkable the transformation that happens, and has nothing to do with anything we did on the track.
Right.
It's all about the perception that these kids have now shown, like, these are really good kids.
Right.
And people want to be around good kids. People want to be around positive, and that's what they're saying. So.
And even from a recruiting standpoint, mm-hmm. College coaches are popping out the woodwork. I mean, surely their results obviously, speak for themselves. Mm-hmm. But like you said, the program is not, has not gotten to where it is
mm-hmm.
solely on, performances.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at, all the kids who are now those top performers, mm-hmm. they weren't always those top performers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They didn't always have that confidence
mm-hmm.
that they have now.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't always as outgoing and,
mm-hmm.
Reaching across, different teams
mm-hmm.
and this, that, and the other
mm-hmm.
like they have. It's the whole person.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, it starts before you ever even step a foot on that track.
Mm-hmm.
It's about building the kids up, which – those kids that are in that program will ultimately build the program.
That's right. So how do you build a successful program when something else is extremely successful and you're challenged on it? Build your kids.
Right.
Build those kids. Build the athletes up to the point where it's not always about what they're doing on the field of play or on the track. It's that you make great kids, great athletes, great human beings, great people of character, and people, again, word of mouth spreads quickly.
Yes.
Good or bad.
Yes.
Good or bad. If you got a whole program of great kids, people will say about great kids. You got a whole program of not so good kids, people are going to tell about not so good kids. And it's going to spread, and people are going to step away and say, I don't have anything to do with that. And that's not the case. That's how Coach Folsom has built this program. Built this program. Built this program, and the point of that saying, what's going on as far as building the program. Now, we've got the kids buy in. We got the great character. Then you add the coaching. And, let's be honest. I don't want to brag. She doesn't want to brag. We don't like to brag. But bottom line, we took some kids who people didn't even want to talk about, weren't on the radar, weren't even on the map, weren't even in the top 1,000 in the state.
Top 1,000.
No, seriously, think about it. You go look. They weren't even in the top 1,000 in the state as freshmen. And now sophomores, juniors, now going to the senior year, we got kids who, truly in the top 5 in the state, number one. Some in the top 5 in the country. That's how good these kids have become and what they're doing. And honestly, in a few months or so, when they all get opportunity and they get to choose a college, they're going to be choosing some colleges.
My favorite time of the year.
Yeah, they're going to be choosing some colleges, and you're going to go, wow.
Right.
Wow.
And they have options.
And
they
kids
have put
who had none.
Position.
Right. Kids who had none as freshmen. Will have several as seniors. And the thing about it, funny, for the seniors we were talking about, the funny thing about it, and it's not even funny, the class that they're in is so
good. It's a monster. This senior
and
class?
So
oh,
strong.
My gosh.
The fact of the matter that the kids that we're talking about are getting looks from the school that they're getting looks at is just totally amazing.
It is.
Because,
it is.
There are kids in our state who are ranked in the top 5 in the nation, And there are kids, I mean, this class is loaded across the board,
mm-hmm.
all across this country. There are great kids who are going to do great things in the athlete in the Olympics in 2020.
Yeah.
I'm talking about 2020, 2024, 2028, and they're graduating from high school this year,
right.
Coming up.
Right.
That's how good this class is and how much talent is in this class coming up. And we've got a few kids right now who in that group of kids
right.
being that well, who have gone from kids no one knew anything about to right now getting huge, huge looks and won tons of offers to go somewhere.
Me.
So, I mean, how you build a program? And here's the funny part about it. It's not that they won a bunch of state championships yet.
Right.
You know, we've had a couple of champions, but not that they won a bunch of state champions. We've got kids do great. And New Balance, we had the kids do great in all those things. We had kids do great at the Junior Olympics. They've done wonderful, fascinating things. But it hasn't been like Highland Springs Track and Field has won indoor championship and outdoor championships and back to back. No, they've won kids, won built character in kids, made this program great because of the character of the kids they have and the coaching that's going on. And now people are gravitate towards something good. And that's what people are doing. They're gravitating to this program because Lamont has decided, put it in and made the patient and had the vision to say, I may not win as many championships as the football program, as much as I want to win championships, but I'm going to build great kids. And I'm
right.
going to have great character kids.
Absolutely.
And people are going to be a part of it. And we're going to build them top to bottom, not just on the track, but everywhere else. And that's how you get a successful program. And that's what we've been doing. And that's one thing I can truly be proud of. So you want to build a successful program? Build great people.
Yeah. And the progress of the kids is just, it's amazing. I mean, if you look at, and I know, you know, it's a natural progression,
mm-hmm.
right,
wow.
for people to get better from freshman year to sophomore year to junior year
wow.
and so forth. But to look at that, the progress of these kids to where they are right now going
yeah.
into this senior year.
Holy cow.
Who could have ever, you know, sometimes if you're a star, you're a star,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yes.
A lot of times you already come in
mm-hmm.
ninth grade. You know,
mm-hmm.
killing it and
China
everything. And everybody
star.
Knew you were a star.
China was
everybody
a star when she
got
to ninth grade. Yes.
Right.
She was a
but
star.
But to see the kids who were not the
mm-hmm.
stars, right, because we got a lot of them.
Some of them
we
hadn't
see,
even run track before they
right.
got to high school. That's right.
right. To see the kids who were not already known.
Mm-hmm.
To see the kids when, no, you know, nobody's checking for them.
Mm-hmm.
Ninth grade, 10th grade, all of a sudden they, like, break out in 11th grade and now going into the senior year, you know, they're now the hunted.
Yes.
You know, as
absolutely.
You say.
Yeah.
It's they're not, you know, now everybody's, you know, say, oh, is that Will? Oh, hey, what's up, Will? You know,
uh-huh.
everybody, your new BFF,
uh-huh.
you know,
mm-hmm.
and everything. So it's just amazing. And then to see the confidence
mm-hmm.
of these kids now,
mm-hmm.
you know, because now when you get on the track, now you think you can do it.
Uh-huh.
And you expect to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I look all the way back to when, you know, we first started with Richmond Heat back in the day. It was exciting for us just to make it to national, right?
Yeah.
It was exciting just
yeah.
to
whoa,
make it.
We got, how many
right.
did we get? Wow,
yeah.
Yeah,
we wanted to just make it
yeah.
to national.
Yeah.
Like, we weren't getting any medals
yeah.
or placing. We weren't even
yeah,
ranked,
there,
you know,
yeah.
whatever. We just wanted to get there.
Yeah,
and, yeah, we it was, you know, it was fun just to go.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yep.
buddy, once we got our first medals, I mean, it was no looking back. And it's like we built, you build, and then next thing I know, they got those medals. Not only did we get that one medal, it was like everybody broke out
yeah.
kind of like around that same time.
Mm-hmm.
China won nationals in that triple jump that year. Lila placed in the hurdles that year.
Donovan
Goo placed in the
Justin
200.
In the
Justin in the shot put.
Yep.
Nunu in the triple jump. Like we, I mean, we
and
just.
And I had somebody in the high jump too. We had one in every single discipline. That's
oh
right.
yeah, they were
yeah.
just killing it that year.
That's right.
And you know what? We never looked back. Every
looked back.
Single year since that year, which was 2010, we leave with medals. We leave
building,
with all Americans
right.
every year. So that's when we talk about building the program.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't start out that way.
Mm-hmm.
They had the, you know, they mm-hmm. had the, you know, they had the ability
mm-hmm.
to be able to get there. We just had to build the program,
mm-hmm.
and it started with building the kids.
Mm-hmm.
you know.
And so, as she, and you're absolutely, and as you talk about, I'm sorry to cut you, but as she's talking about that, not only did them to be better students, better characters,
right,
and better athletes and win championships, the other thing they got a passion for the sport.
Right.
And now we had kids who graduated from our youth program who are now coming back and giving back.
Right.
Helping,
yeah,
coaching them because they were a part of the program and now they want to give back and be a part of it doing on the other side.
Right.
You know, I was an athlete, now I want to help on the coaching standpoint and be like, and our kids who come back from college come back and be a part of the program,
yeah,
and still train and still help others to get them and explain to them, know why we do what we do. He said, no, you need to listen to Coach Donna, Coach Lewis, Coach Rico, because they're telling you the things that are going to get you to the point where you want to be.
Right.
That's how I got here, because I listened to these coaches tell me what I needed to do and teach me to do these things and coach me to get there. Now you need to follow through and do that. And the funny part about it, like you said, now our high school kids are giving back to our younger kids.
Oh, God.
The young kids look up to the high school kids, and it just keeps going, and that's the building process. And we get people excited about it. And again, the younger kids, not winning championships, not winning medals, but excited to come back and be part of this because they enjoy learning about track,
mm-hmm,
getting better about it, and having people come be a part of them and teach them and be a part of it. So that's how you build, truly successful programs, by building great people and then having people around them who will buy into it and do what they do, and all those things come about, and you have a great – and you have success.
And ultimately, it becomes more like a big family.
Yes, it does.
Really, it's like your extended family.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that is just so wonderful about that, because you don't really think about this stuff sometimes when you are actually in the program,
mm-hmm,
at the time and as a kid growing up.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that hit me, we just had a multiple class reunion,
uh-huh,
in Roanoke.
Biters.
Whatever. William Fleming, uh-huh, High School. And the thing
they bit off us.
Oh, my God. Oh, mm-hmm, my God. So the thing that got me.
80s reunion.
The two people.
They had an 80s reunion. Go ahead.
We had people from the 70s and everybody. 2000s, all of it.
I just,
yeah,
tried to do it bigger.
Oh,
go,
yeah,
ahead.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's how we do it in Roanoke,
yeah,
the Star City of the South. So anyway, like I was saying, one of the things that struck me the most,
uh-huh,
is running into all the different the people that, mm-hmm, I ran track with,
sure,
30 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, you old.
You're always going to be older. Let's put that ER on the end of that. So anyway, as I was saying, uh-huh, come again.
Sorry, you got Star Trek. Go ahead.
Uh-huh, uh-huh, uh-huh. So anyway, it's seeing all the people that I ran track with. I don't see these people on a regular basis, but it was like, again, a family reunion, because that's the culture that our coaches,
uh-huh,
created.
Mm-hmm.
I saw my, you know, I do keep in touch with my coach, in all fairness, but not,
yeah,
that often,
right,
not as often as I could
Coach
or should.
Stewart?
Yeah, Coach Stewart was out there.
That's good.
Old tail,
mm-hmm,
still fussing, thinking he know everything, telling everybody everything.
That's my man.
But anyway, you walk
that's
up, he looked, he pulled his little glasses out. He's like, oh, Lord, here come trouble. I'm thinking, dude, I have been out of school for 30 years. You still harassing me to this day.
And I would be the same way.
And it, yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the beauty of it. Right beside my high school coach, my junior high school coach.
Really?
Coach Lovelace. Yes, I have a picture. I have to show it to you.
Uh-huh.
But I, Coach Lovelace and Coach Stewart,
mm-hmm,
sitting there. So then they want to go through all these different stories.
Uh-huh.
And it's funny because coaches, as many stories and many situations as the athletes remember, coaches remember all of this stuff.
Yeah.
And it's amazing that all of the kids that you have actually coached all of these years, it's amazing to me how when you get it even up to 60, 70, 80 years old,
mm-hmm,
you know, that you still remember these kids by name,
and the nicknames,
by situation,
yeah,
by nickname,
mm-hmm,
their mama's name sometimes, you know, all kinds of, and they still want to tell these same stories. I know we'll be the exact same way,
yep,
but it just warmed my heart just to, you know, I don't know, something about my track family,
uh-huh,
my track coaches, and just to still 30 years later, 30 plus years later,
mm-hmm,
still have that same connection, like like you just never left.
Oh, I agree with you. I mean, and that's success.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that wasn't about the championships that you guys won.
Right,
it wasn't about
right,
the championships.
Right. Too,
but it was the building of the program that brought people back and wanted to be a part of it and say, here it is. And I feel the same way about my high school coach. You know, Coach Al means everything to me. I mean... Yes, I want to talk about my track son in a second. But my coach, my high school coach, will always be important to me because I treat him like a father figure and everything. You know, I tell him all the time, thank you for everything you've done for me, because the outcome that I have is based on the things that you believed in me and taught me and coached me so I can get to where I wanted to be. And I thank him all the time for it.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing that, I try to instill that in the kids that I coach. And all stuff, and Kamika, I'm glad you're on there, because it's funny, and you see it too. It's funny that when I'm coaching, you know, Tamika's on here. Her son Devin is always on my hip.
Always.
He's always on my hip. He drives me crazy, but he's always on my hip. And but the thing about it, he's not just on my hip to get on my nerves, because he does that really well. But actually, he's soaking up knowledge. He truly soaks up knowledge. You know, he's trying to learn stuff, and he's learning stuff to the point where I truly believe one of these days that, you know, when I decide not to do this anymore, you know, I always turn and say, Devin, take over. And
they love it, too.
And Devin will want
to
do it.
You can get them to do that stuff
yeah.
now.
And now I'll say,
Devin,
I want you to lead. I want you to coach and everything. And he'll go do things. He said, okay, I did what you told me to do. I did this stuff, and I was you. I yelled at a few people, and I told them it wasn't good enough, and told them to tell me about their race and all the other things. Like, good, Devin, you've learned. And he's like, yeah, I got on him. I tell him other things. But he's on my hip learning those things, and I truly believe eventually when his day will come, Devin will do the same thing.
Oh, absolutely.
And he will be a coach and do those, and he'll do that same thing, because, you know, you try to build and instill in kids, you know, the great things about track. And talking about Devin first started off, like a lot of kids start off, they think they're sprinters. Got them both, too. They think they're sprinters. And then we moved Devin up to the 800 in distance program. And there was some pushback at the beginning because he didn't think he could do that stuff. And his first like you said, a story. Devin's first story, the first story he ran the 800 when he fell out at the.
Oh, God. He was meant to be tabbed.
I'll never forget it. He fell out on the 800, fell out at the finish line. Oh, Lord, fell out. Never forget it. I'll never forget it. And I will always tell that story about him and laugh at him for doing it. But he moved on and got better. And here he is now. He's one of the best 800, 1500, 2 milers. And then now, this summer, start teaching the steeplechase. And here
yes,
it is. First time in the steeplechase, he goes to Junior Olympics. And does great. He finishes 12th in the Junior Olympics. First
amazing.
Time he'd ever done it.
Amazing.
First time. And even a better part of it is, like, there were college coaches that said, hey.
Already making offers. That's
hey,
right.
Hey, where'd you
That's
get
right.
this kid? Tell me about this kid.
Yeah.
And how many times this is the second time doing steeplechase.
Ever.
Coach. Really?
Ever.
The second time? Yeah, we've been teaching him over the summer. Man, that's great. That's this kid. This is the kind of kid I'd like to have in my program. Here's my card. Keep me in mind. Keep me in touch with you. Like,
yeah.
You know? That's what it is. The outcome wasn't that he won the Junior Olympics. The outcome was he took on the challenge of learning the steeplechase,
right.
got involved in it, liked it, got better at it, enjoyed it, used the training, the coaching that we gave him, and he was able to not only go from never doing it, practicing it at practice, doing mock drills and doing all the stuff we did. We had him do 2 time trials and all this stuff and training him on doing it. To the point where he went to regionals, got 3rd in the regionals, and went 12th in the nation in an event he'd only done twice. That was the second time he'd ever done that event, and he came in 12th in the nation.
And here goes back to that whole trust thing that
mm-hmm.
I talk about.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? When we don't have steeplechases. You
nope.
know, we don't
we don't have
the
facility.
The equipment
we don't have
the
facility
for
right.
steeplechase.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you what, because he trusts what you say,
mm-hmm.
right? You set up hurdles.
Yep.
out there with a little baby swimming pool of water. I mean, you know, we got to do about any means necessary.
That's right.
But
yep.
set up hurdles
mm-hmm.
where a big old steeplechase
uh-huh.
would normally be.
Yep, set them up on the track where they would
on
be.
On the track
mm-hmm.
and a little baby pool
full
of water.
Yep.
And when he would come over that thing, he had to hurdle that, hurdle the steeplechase, splash down in that baby pool, you know. But, again, it goes back to trust.
Yes.
You know, and competent coaches.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know what, a coach who wasn't that competent wouldn't have came up with that.
No, they just told him.
They would just say, you know what, get your endurance up and get over those hurdles. That steeplechase the best way you can. No, I thought it was a genius idea to come up with those baby pools. Because in my mind, I'm thinking, what the heck are you about to do with that baby pool? You know, I would have never thought. I promise you, I would have never thought of that. But, you know, and that's like sometimes I think about little crazy stuff that I do with hula hoops. You know, you do bounding drills. Lining up some hula hoops to try to stretch those phases out and everything because you need them to, you know, just visualize this hole.
That's right.
You know, and just like with Devin, you know, the whole thing was you were building that endurance, but you're also jumping over that hurdle. You're splashing down
splashing
in the water,
down water
like
that's
you're
right.
getting a whole
so you
experience.
You
got to
come out
of
and
it.
Come again. That's right.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And the other part about it, and we talked about earlier, buying. He bought into it and believed in it.
Yeah.
And you know what? Everybody else bought in and believed into it. His mother bought in and believed in it. Other parents bought in and believed it. Other parents actually went and bought the baby pool.
Right, right.
And it's like, I need a baby pool to get in. They were like, huh? Like, I need it to teach Devin and Steve. Okay. Parents, funding, bought into it, bought the baby pool, filled it up. Coaches filled the water up. And then, again, when we were doing his time trials and all that stuff, yes, thank you, Kim. And when you're doing his time trials, what else do we have to buy in? The other kids line up on the side saying, let's go, Devin.
Yes,
let's keep going,
up.
Devin.
Hyping them up.
Yep, let's go, Devin. Keep it going. Push, Devin. Push, Devin. Push. Let's go, 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 go.
He was the first of our team. No,
Sydney.
Sydney
did it. My daughter, Sydney did it. Sydney did it. Sydney, sure. And she was the first one, and she was All-American in it.
Yep.
So, excuse me. So, and the thing about it is, he bought in. Everyone bought in. There was a plan, you know, I had a plan, a vision. I said, you want to do the steeplechase, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do it. I got a plan for you to do it. Told everybody here's what we're going to do. He's going to get this done. Told him the practice regimen. Told everybody what's going on. They're like, okay. Everybody bought in. Everybody believed in. And the outcome is exactly what we wanted.
Yep.
The outcome wasn't to win the national championship. The outcome was to get him into believing he could do it. He got to believe he can do it. And then when he finished, he said, I really like this. I think I can do this later when I get to college.
Right.
And the funny part about it is he came off the track. He was finished. We're walking. And coaches came up and said, hey, I'm such and such. I like to introduce myself. I'm such and such. I'm talking. I really enjoy watching him run. He looked really good. How many times has he done it? And said, coach, this is the only second time he's ever done this. This is the second time he's only done this? Like, yes, the second time he's ever done it. Man, that's really, really good. Wow. I need a kid like this in my program. Here's my card. Keep me in mind.
Right, right.
And what a better outcome than that to say, hey, you didn't win a national championship, but you got something greater.
Right.
Someone actually wants you to come to their school.
Right. And he's only just going to the 11th grade,
yeah, exactly.
So he's only going to get better.
Yeah, somebody wants you to come to their school, and they're basically saying, hey, we're going to give you money to come do something you've only done twice.
Amazing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Outcome, success. I mean, that's what it is. That's what we try to do. And then we have, you know, that's one of my stories, but we got so many of those things. We can talk about a program where people buy into what we're believing.
Right.
We do the training. We get the coaching. We give them, and people realize, and we get parents. We get other coaches. We get people around to believe what we're doing. We give them the plan. We give them a vision. And we don't say our outcome is to win a championship. Our outcome is to get better.
Right.
And when the outcome is to get better, you can always know the next step will be this, and it happens all the time. From a Kayla going from a 28-foot to a 32-foot to the 36-foot triple jump board, you know, which is something you would have never thought she would be able to do.
Never
thought she'd be able to do.
Now she puts her own self on the 36-foot board.
Belief. She now has the belief, you know, for doing something like that. For a kid who, when she was a freshman, nobody thought she was ever going to be anything any good. To someone like
that's
Will,
14 feet.
Somebody, I truly wish we had a projector and we could show you just how bad he was.
Will the bunny rabbit.
Oh, my God, how bad.
Like a deer.
How bad he was in the hurdles. But here's the other thing. It wasn't just that he was bad in the hurdles. No one realized just how good this boy can run. This boy can run. And to see him blossom from just a guy who was bunny hopping over hurdles and just trying to be on the track team to a guy who's now one of the best in the 200, the 400, 500, the 800, the 110
jump.
Hurdles, the 400 hurdles, the 300 hurdles, the long jump, the high, the just to see him come
the
from where he was
anything.
To where he is, and you go, wow. I mean, that's a kid who believed in what was going on, got coaches to teach him all these things, him to buy into it, the program to buy into him, and there you have it. And trust me, come, you know, whenever signing day is, you're going to go, holy cow, he's going where?
All of the offers that he's
getting. You're going to go, oh, my God, how did this? He's like,
he
yeah.
He don't even know what to do
yeah,
with him.
Yeah,
right,
exactly.
Yeah.
So as from a kid who, you know, be honest with you, he didn't believe he had a shot to do something. He just thought, you know, I'm just going to get out here and become an electrician, and that's it. Great. You want to, it's a great field. You want to be an electrician. No one ever talks about going to college. Now here he is his senior year. It's like, hey, he's got multiple people saying,
yes.
Come to our college.
Amazing.
You know, things like that. There's so many kids we can say that. Cameron was a basketball player.
Yeah.
She literally was a basketball player. And one day, Lamont told her to come out to the track. And she said, this was her words. Her words. I want to play in the sand. I want to play in the sand. And now here she is. She's on her senior year. And she's gone from a kid who was just wanted to play in the sand to a great 100, 200, and now she's learning to be a 400 hurdler, 300, 400 hurdler, and here's the same thing. Same thing with her. Great kid, great character,
great student.
Again, same thing. She's taken all this stuff. She's learned from the coaches. She's bought into the program. She's done everything that we've asked of her, and she's taken upon herself. And one day, well, soon.
Right, she's not even playing basketball anymore.
Soon, you'll get to say, wow, she's going where? Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I mean,
and
that's what it takes.
Amazing.
That success. It's not championships that we've won, because we've won at New Balance. We've won it indoors. We won outdoors. We've had an individual championship. We've had a lot of success on the track with medals and things of that nature. And state champ, Ben. Day champion, the kid who started with our program, and he was in the band.
Right.
He was in the
band.
Playing the flute. he was playing the flute. He was in the band, and now he's a state champion, two-time state champion, and now he's in college for, you know, going to school for free from a kid who was playing,
throwing shot and discus
and playing the flute.
People sleep on that shot and discus.
Playing the flute in the band.
Runners.
It's like playing the flute in the band, and now he's going to school for free
to
throw the shot in the discus in the weight throw, even though he had not learned that. He had learned the stuff late and is doing that stuff because of all the belief in the program. That is success. That success.
Yes.
You
want to
build a program, build your kids, build the character of the children or athletes, whoever's around, whether it be little kids or high school or college or whatever the case may be, build the character of those people. When you build a character of those people, you'll get them to believe and get people to believe into that. And boom, watch what happens.
And just make sure you have those competent coaches.
And
Let me just finish up with that one.
Definitely.
So along with having competent coaches, you also have to have those coaches who, like you said, you know, the coaches have to buy into the program too.
Yes.
Right.
And I see that happen. So
because you have to – And you have to be patient as a coach because obviously, just like the success that we're seeing now, this stuff didn't happen overnight.
No.
It did not happen overnight. Mm-hmm. You know, and you know what? We were having just as much fun. Oh, we're almost out. We were having just as much fun even when we weren't getting all those medals.
That's right.
But whoo, are we having the type of fun that we're having now? It's amazing.
Yeah.
But it's just even more exciting to see the excitement of the kids.
Yes, the excitement.
The
excitement of the kids, the excitement of the parents around the kids, the excitement of the school, and the excitement of the program, because you're going to see this program done wonderful, great things for children of the school who are just going to represent the school even more.
Exactly.
And like I said, more than anything, I mean, I'm proud to be a part of it, but I can't wait for those days, those signing days when these kids sign where they're going to go to
best
school.
Part of it all.
And we get to sit there and go, this is success.
Mm-hmm.
This is the best success.
Absolutely.
This is the best success. So that's our show tonight. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Thank you for calling in, Sid. Daddy will see you tomorrow. We will not be on next week as we transition to our new platform.
Oh, okay.
So we will not see you next week, but when we get back, we'll be ripping and roaring and get you going because we'll be into high school season. We'll be, well, not high school season started, but track will begin and we'll be at, going at it and going on. So we'll be talking about you know, the Wills and the Kaylas and the Cams and the Tasias and Keontes and Keontes
and
all those kids going through. But also we'll be talking about what the programs are going, what we're doing with our program, and they're at the other one. So thanks for watching. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. Later.
Wow, look at that.